Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Amen. What a wonderful team. You guys are warriors. The praise team and the dance team, I went to them and asked them, I said, well, since it's raining, are you going to not dance? Oh, no, we're here to dance. We're here to worship God. You know, so the little rain, they said, was not going to stop them from worship. Amen. We want to pause just for a moment. One of our members had to leave, William Logan and his family. I think it was her mother. Is that correct? Her mother has taken a spill and fallen, and we want to pray for her. And we also want to pray for the Holler family Patty went home to be with the Lord this week. And she is in no pain. And that's the way our Savior works. But we want to pause just for a moment before we do communion. And we want to pray for these families. So will you join me? Father, we thank you so much that you're the everlasting God. You're the one who paid for it all. You're the one who is the healer. You're the one that is the deliverer. You're the one that is the provider. We ask you to provide now for this mother and the Logan family. We ask you, Father, that there'd be no broken bones. We ask you for a quick recovery in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we ask you to bring comfort to the Holler family. And we ask you, Lord, that you will show yourself to be strong. Show yourself to be the one who is the one and only comforter. You sent the comforter to us for times like this. So we ask you now, Father, to wrap your arms around them and let them feel your presence in such a way that they will go through these days of this loss, but yet they will be reunited again one day. So, Father, we thank you, we love you, and we worship you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 When you came in, you were given a communion cup. It's two layers. I'd like for you to go ahead and start now. We want to just, the first layer is just a transparent piece that you peel back, and that's your wafer. So if you'll begin to do that right now, you children, parents, you may have to help your children, but we'd like for you to do that.
Say that again.
We need one over there. I want to make sure that everybody has one. You know, the Lord made provisions for everything that we need. He says, I am the one who fulfills your need. I am the one who fills you. I am the one who has paid the price. I am the one who took the stripes. I am the one who was beaten for you. I am the one who was pierced in the side. I am the one. I am the bread of life. If you're ready to partake, if you're not ready to partake, just flash your lights. If you're not ready, we're going to partake with the bread. I see some lights flashing. You want to pause. We don't want to be in a rush. The rain has ceased momentarily. And we'll thank you, God, for that. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our midst. Is everyone ready? Does everyone have it? If you do not have the communion cup, flash your lights, let me know. Everybody must have it. So if you'll take the bread as we lift it up. Jesus took the bread and broke it. And he said, this is my body. And every time you partake of my body, I want you to remember. Whoops. I want you to remember me. Remember me. Remember me. So let's pause for a moment and remember the very body of Jesus and how he was treated. We thank you, Father, for the body of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for all the payment that was made. The blood was shed. The beatings happened. The bruises happened. And we partake this in honor of you, in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, let's all partake. begin to tear the foil piece from the cup. And like I said, if you have children, you may need to take just a moment to help them. Took the cup and he said, "This is my blood, and this is the blood of the new covenant. This is the new covenant that he made with his own blood, removing us from the law and putting us under the grace and covering us with his blood. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins." So what he's done by shedding his blood, he has forgiven us. He has taken care of all of our sins, past, present, future. So he lifted this, he gave thanks, and we give thanks to you, Father, for the blood of Jesus. There's nothing like the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father, again, for the opportunity to partake in the body and blood of Jesus. You may partake now. Make that joyful noise. Just bring it on. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're an awesome God. You're an awesome God. Amen. Yeah. Yeah, let's do it again. Give him praise. Amen. Amen. Thank you guys for coming. Thank you for being here today. I know we did it by faith, and a little rain never scared us off. We just want to make sure that we're pleasing God, honoring the local authority, and we are. And God wants us to be a people who are good citizens, who in the place that we live, that we recognize, and the citizen, and the law enforcement recognizes that we are good citizens. We're going to follow the orders, and we're going to follow what they want us to do, and we're taking all the precautions to take with the spacing between the cars, and you're doing great by not getting out of your car, because that's one of the things you don't need to do. And I think the rain may have helped that a little bit, but we're looking forward to the message today, because I want to share with you a message that is called Behind Closed Doors. Behind Closed Doors. I'm going to look at Luke chapter 24, and if you want to open your Bible and go there with me, we're going to be talking about behind closed doors. It's so appropriate today, because we're behind closed doors now in our cars. We're behind closed doors when we go home, that we're behind closed doors. We don't know for how long, but what are we doing? How are we making it behind closed doors? I remember behind the closed door of the ark. The Bible says that God is the one who closed the door after Noah and his family entered into the ark. But see, they had to get behind closed doors in order to be delivered. They were delivered from the flood, but they had to listen to God and get behind closed doors for that to happen in their life. So that's one set of closed doors that we remember. Another set of closed doors was the children of Israel. On Passover, God instructed them to go in their house and close the door behind them, you know, because the death angel was coming, the tenth plague, the death angel was coming to take the firstborn. And he said, "I want you to," and he told them how to prepare it and get the blood and get the lamb ready and eat the lamb and partake of that and put the blood over the doorpost and the sides. Now, why would he do that? Because he was taking care of his people. He was protecting his people who were behind closed doors. So the closed door of the ark was for deliverance. The closed door at Passover was for protection. And see, God instituted both of those times that they were behind closed doors. But we want to go into Luke and find another set of closed doors and see if we see ourselves in this one. In Luke chapter 24, verse 1. Very early that Sunday morning, Jesus has already died. Jesus is in the tomb. And he said 3 days, 3 nights, and he's going to rise. So very early that Sunday morning, the women made their way to the tomb carrying the spices that they had prepared. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, Jesus' mother. Arriving at the tomb, they discovered that the huge stone that was covering the entrance had been rolled aside. So they went in to look, but the tomb was empty. The body of Jesus was gone. They stood there stunned and perplexed. Suddenly, two men in a dazzling white robe shining like lightning appeared before them, above them. Terrified, the women fell to the ground on their faces. The men in white said to them, "Why do you look for the living one in a tomb? Why do you look for the living one in a tomb? He is not here, for he has risen." Amen? He has risen. "For you, have you already forgotten what he has told you when he was in Galilee with you? The Son of Man is destined to be handed over to sinful men, to be nailed to the cross, and on the third day he will rise again. Have you forgotten?" All at once they remembered his words. Leaving the tomb, they went back to break the news to the 11 and the others and tell them what they had seen and what they had heard. When the disciples heard the testimony of the women, it made no sense. I'm reading from the Passion Translation. It made no sense. And they were unable to believe what they heard. Have you ever been in that place? You heard great news, but you heard the news, but you didn't understand the news. And it was hard to believe what the news was telling you. It's hard to believe what others was the news that others was giving you. But Peter jumped up and ran the entire distance to the tomb to see himself, to see for himself. Stooping down, he looked inside and discovered it is empty. But there was the linen sheet laying there and the grave clothes folded. Staggered by this, he walked away wondering, what does this mean? Later that Sunday, two of Jesus' disciples were walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. The journey was about 17 miles. They were in the midst of a discussion talking about the events of the last few days when all of a sudden Jesus walked up. Jesus just suddenly appeared and started walking with them. Where did he come from? He just appeared. So they were walking and they were talking about the things about how he died, and their hope was gone. But they were unaware that it was Jesus. I'm going to pause for a moment. Jesus came in a form that they did not recognize. We need to understand that Jesus may come in different forms that you really think he may come in or may not come in. Some of us will look for him only to appear as a Baptist, only to appear as a charismatic, only to appear as a Presbyterian, only to appear as a Catholic. See, he will appear how he wants to appear. We will miss him if we make him come in a certain form. But he showed up. They didn't recognize him. They didn't know who he was. But he walked alongside them. And as they walked, they began to talk. And he said, "Why are you so sad? Why are you so sad and full of sorrow?" And they're looking at him saying, "Are you a stranger? How long, you know, have you not been here? And do you not know what's been going on these last few days?" And they talked about him being Jesus being the Savior, being the one, the Messiah that is going to set up a kingdom. And they killed him. They crucified him. Put him on a cross. He died. And not only that, the tomb that they put him in, we have now heard that it's empty. So we feel like somebody's taken the body. So that they're just perplexed and they're grieved over it. But they are talking about their problems. Jesus walks in their midst, and he begins to talking about the promise. He begins to talking about revealing who he is through the Old Testament. And he begins to tell them, all starting with Moses, he begins to tell them to reveal who he is to them, even though they don't recognize him as Jesus. They don't recognize who he is. But he changes the conversation in the midst of their journey. He changes their conversation from talking about their problems to talking about a promise. We need to learn this. Even behind our closed doors, we don't need to be talking about the problems that we have. We need to be talking about the promise that he's given. Amen. Can I get an amen? Can I get a horn blowing on that? Amen. Amen. So he goes on and they invite him to come and eat with him. And he comes in and he breaks bread with them. And when he breaks bread, just like we did communion, when he breaks bread with them, their eyes are open and they see him for who he truly is. And they recognize him as their Lord. And the Bible says that in a flash, as soon as they realized who he was, in a flash, he disappeared. Just like that. He just disappeared. When you think about it, God, why would you do that? Because he wanted to. He had somewhere else to be. And those two disciples began to talk. He said, do you know, when he started, we were talking about our problems. We were talking about all this stuff and we were sad about it. But when he started talking about the scriptures and started revealing himself to us, did not our hearts burn within us that we wanted to hear more? We wanted to hear more. So when you begin to talk about promise, you want to hear more about the promises of God. You want to hear more about what God is doing. You want to hear more. But see, that's not the end of the story. In John 20, it talks about that evening. Here it is. It's still Resurrection Sunday. And now it's late in the evening. And the disciples were gathered together. And because they were afraid of the retaliation of the Jewish leaders, they had fear, they had doubt, they had dismay, they had discouragement. And they locked the doors. Not just closed the doors, but they locked the doors behind them. Why? Because they locked it, not because God said get behind closed doors like he did with Noah and like he did with Israel at Passover. No, this was man-driven. This was fear-driven. I'm going to be behind closed doors now. But I'm fearful, and they're fearful. And they locked the doors. And the Bible says that suddenly he appeared. Now, the doors are locked. He didn't come through the door, but he just appeared. He just showed up. He appeared before them. And this is what he told them. Peace be unto you. So Jesus comes in the midst of their fear, in the midst of their discouragement, in the midst of their doubt, in the midst of their unbelief, in the midst of all the dismay that they're holding. And he appears to them. And what does he say? Peace be unto you. He wants these guys to have peace. He says, peace be unto you. Then he shows him his wounds of his hands and his side. And they were overjoyed to see with their own eyes that it is the Lord. Jesus repeated. He didn't just stop there. He repeated. He said this, peace be unto you again. And he told them, just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. Well, you've got to be kidding me. Jesus is going to use this group of guys, this group here that is hiding, that is down low with fear, doubt, unbelief, discouragement, dismayed, and don't know what to do. And he's going to tell them, man, just as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Well, I tell you what, God can use anybody that is willing to say yes to him. Amen. God is willing to say, he's willing to send you to do his work if you're just willing to say yes to him. After he told him that I'm sending you, he says this. He takes a deep breath and he blows upon them. And here's what he says, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathes out of his own body. He says, receive the Holy Spirit. This is their conversion. They didn't have the Holy Spirit in them none of the time that they walked with him. This is their conversion. He said, receive it. He breathes, and the Spirit is the breath of God. And he breathes upon them, and he says, receive the Holy Spirit. See, some of us, really, we really need to make sure that we have received the Holy Spirit, that we have turned from our ways of sinfulness, and we have turned to God, and we have received the very sacrifice that he has made for us. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. He said, and I'm going to send you, and I'm going to send you to preach, and I'm going to send you to teach about for the forgiveness of sins. And when you do that, people's sins will be forgiven. But if you don't proclaim the forgiveness of their sins, they will remain guilty. What a burden. If you don't tell about the gospel, they possibly could remain in their sins, not knowing about the sacrifice that Jesus made, the blood, the beatings, the thrashing that he took. It's our voice that needs to be spoken. It's our sound that needs to be made. You know, but Thomas wasn't there that day. So they went and told Thomas about it. And Thomas said this. He said, I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. And he's going to have to tell me to touch his hand. He's going to have to tell me to touch his side. That's when I'll believe it. And it was 8 days later. Eight, a new beginning. Thomas is about to have a new beginning. You are about to have a new beginning. Why is that? Because God is not leaving everything the same. He's shaking everything around us that can shake. But the kingdom of God is not shakable. As we stand upon the rock, we will not be shaken. But he's shaking everything else around us. Why? Because there's a new day. There's a new time that is coming. A new day, a new time that is coming. The dawning of this day as we celebrate the resurrected Savior. It's a new day. It's a new time. You may go leave this place and out of your locked cars. You may go home and you will go home and you'll get behind the locked doors at the home. But I'm telling you, God is there. Jesus is there in your midst. And he's saying, I want you to have peace. I do not want you to have fear. I am here. And this day will change. See, we are out of the time of seasons. The Old Testament talks about seasons and times. We've left the times of seasons of visitation. We're in the times of the Lord now. But Thomas was not there. 8 days later, the Lord shows up. Thomas and others Thomas and others were in the house together. And even though the doors were closed and locked, here they are, closed doors and locked again. Suddenly, Jesus stood before them, and he says, peace be unto you. And he said, and he looking in Thomas's eyes, and he says, Thomas, I want you to put your finger in my hand. I want you to touch this scar, touch this wound. And he looks at him, and he says, I want you to put your hand in my side where they pierced my side so you can see for yourself. Thomas, don't give in to your doubts any longer. I want you to believe. The words spilled out from Thomas's heart. You are my Lord. You are my God. Thomas, Jesus said, now you have seen me, you believe. But there are those who have never seen me with their own eyes, but they have believed in me with their hearts. They will be even more blessed than you. You see, unbelief is a very dangerous thing. When you're trapped in unbelief, doubt is a very dangerous thing, because doubt will lead you to unbelief. Unbelief will lead you to denial. You'll begin to deny the things of God. You'll begin to deny the acts of God in your midst, and you don't even know it. But it starts with a doubt. And the reason you have doubt is there's a lie that's been told, and you've believed a lie. We believe a lie, we have doubt. And doubt will then become unbelief. And unbelief will then become denial. And you'll begin to deny things that you actually see. Deny things that he's actually promised. Deny things that he wants to do. So it's very dangerous. But we cannot be a people who stay dismayed, disillusioned, distressed, terrified, fearful, dumbfounded, intimidated, behind closed doors, shaking, startled, doubt, unbelief, and denial. We can no longer be a people that way. Because Jesus has already said, listen, I'm telling you, peace be unto you. See, when he gives away peace, he gives himself. Because he is the Prince of Peace. You know, Jesus said these words and talked about it to the disciples, and he's encouraging them. And like I said, I've said this before. If I'd have been God, I wouldn't have chosen me. And the reason I say that is I know where I've been. I know what I've done. God knows where I've been. God knows what I've done. God knows everything about me. I'm looking at him. I said, why in the world would you choose me to even pastor a people, pastor your people? Why would you choose me? And I'm still a little taken by it. But see, he chooses people that are not as smart as a lot of other people. But he wants to use the foolish to confound the wise. All he's looking for is somebody to say yes. All he's looking for is somebody to say, I'll do it. Just to follow him and not have our knees shaking, you know, and knocking because we're fearful, because we're anxious, because we have anxiety. A few more things. The resurrection of Christ brings you out of a season of visitation into a time of habitation. See, we're not looking for Jesus to visit anymore. That season has gone. He doesn't visit. He's here, and he's here to stay. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Nobody will displace him. Nobody will overtake him. So our thinking has to shift. We have to shift from a place of saying, looking and searching for God, to a place of walking with God. Because we have him and he has us. We need to look for the place, you know, that no longer am I looking for him to visit me, because he inhabits me. See, he made the difference. The whole resurrection changed the paradigm of how we're to live. See, the cross took care of our sins and took care of all the shame and the guilt through the sacrifice that he made on the cross. The forgiveness. But we were unable to live it, and still unable to live it, without his life being poured into us. See, the life that I now live, that you now live, is his life. Not your own life. It's his life that you're now living. You know, Jesus said in John 4:23, he said, Jesus said, a time is coming, and it now is. See, we're out of the seasons. Now, we still have seasons of the natural. But he said, and the spiritual things here, said, you're in the time. And we need to understand that we need to be like the sons of Issachar. See, when David went out to war, he gathered the warriors of all the tribes. But see, there was one tribe that didn't have warriors, the sons of Issachar. What did they do? They were the ones that understood the times and knowledge, and they were able to tell him what Israel needed to do and the plan of attack. Now is the time for us to understand the time that we're in. Yes, we're behind closed doors. Yes, things look bleak in the natural. But see, when the resurrection comes, when you receive the resurrection life, your vision begins to change. You begin to see things differently. So instead of talking about the problems, you're talking about the promise. And you're talking about the day that comes. The day that comes that we won't have to meet in a parking lot in cars. The day that comes when we will be reunited in a building. It's coming. I'm telling you, it's coming. And when it happens, we are going to be a different people, not the same people that did the same thing that we did long ago. We're going to be changed because we're going to be visited, and we've already been visited, and we already have him. So we have the Holy Spirit. The very power that raised Jesus from the dead is residing inside you. The very power, the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. See, it was the Spirit of holiness that raised Jesus from the dead. And he's given you and I that spirit. So it's a time for you and I to rise up. It's a time for you and I to unzip ourselves from the very past that holds us into bondage. Well, I can't do this because I've done this. No, unzip yourself from that. Why? Because that was the old. That died. That is dead. That is gone. He's given you new life. He's given you new peace. He's given you courage. He's given you the Spirit of God alive inside you. So it's time for you and I to rise up. It's time for you to unzip ourselves from the history of our bondage. It's time for us to enter into the place to where we are bolder as his people. And we will not be fearful. We will not say, well, no, I just really don't know what's going to happen. He does. All we have to do is listen to him. All we have to do is keep our eyes focused upon him. He does. He knows. He knows everything. He's preparing you and I for the days to come. He's teaching you and I more about him that when we get out from behind the doors, when the doors are completely open and we're able to do the things that we are called to do by God, we will be doing things in a much bolder and a much stronger way. Because he's telling us, you know, you may not look, you may not think you're outstanding, but I'm telling you, you are. Jesus wants us to know that we're an outstanding people. We're a very brilliant people. We're a people who has the purposes of God residing in us and upon us. We're a people that's going to go out and change the atmosphere. We're a people that's going to go out and tell the truth. And we're going to tell them the things about God and how he has forgiven them, how he has taken every sin and placed it upon himself. We need to tell people, you're forgiven. All you have to do is say yes to Jesus. Repent from your sin, turn to Jesus, and he'll save you. He'll deliver you. He'll protect you. He'll watch over you. And not only that, he'll send you. Even though you and I, some of us don't feel like we're worthy to be sent. But he didn't say, you're worthy. He looked at them. He looked at them when they were fearful inside the closed doors. And they had all this dismay. They had all this doubt. They had all this discouragement. Had all of it. And he looks at them and says, I'm sending you. So right here in your car, I want you to hear the Spirit of the Lord tell you, I'm sending you. I'm sending you to tell your story about how I changed your life. I'm sending you to share how I touched you one day and you became my child. I'm sending you to go tell your story. The thing is, will we doubt? Will we have the doubts of, no, he didn't send me. No, I don't really need to talk to that. But yes, you do. You have been sent. The doubt will cause you to have unbelief, and the unbelief will cause you to deny the very purpose that God has called you to go do. And we need to understand that he's still working. There's a song about the waymaker, the promise keeper, the miracle worker, the light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are. My God, that's who you are. When you don't see a way, he makes a way. When you need a miracle, he is the miracle giver. He makes the miracles happen. The days of miracles are not gone. Look at me. I'm telling you, I'm a miracle to be alive. Some of you are the same thing. Some of you, I almost died 3 times in my life. But God said, no, it's not time. So I'm here standing to you today as a miracle before you, as a miracle before God. I'm one of his miracles. Are you? Let me hear an amen. Are you one of God's miracles? Amen. I know you are. You're exceptional. You're phenomenal. You're his. He's yours. And he's going to use you, even though you may think you're unusable. You have to move from that place and begin to see the promise. Don't talk about the problem. Talk about the promise. Talk about the promise. So there's the door. There's another door of people being afraid and tied up with their fear. See, that was the fear of man. The first door was Noah. God said, get in there, close the door. The second door was the children of Israel in Passover. Get in there and close the door. First time Noah, he said, I'm going to deliver you. In the day of the children of Israel, he said, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to watch over you. It will not touch you. The blood. Everybody say the blood. The blood. The blood. We cannot lose value of the blood of Jesus. Always remember the blood of Jesus. It was the blood that protected them. And the death angel passed over. It is the blood that protects you. It is the blood that not only covers your sins, but does away with them. We need to understand that you are in Christ, and Christ is in us. So I got news for you. If you are in Christ, so does every one of your situations. Every one of your situations is in Christ, if you're in Christ. Do you hear that? If you're in Christ, every one of your problems is in Christ. Why? Because he's not going to leave. He said, no, I'm going to take you, but I want you to leave your problems out here. He is not that kind of God. No, you're in Christ. Your problems are in Christ. And he is the answer to your problems. If you're in Christ, and you are, then your situation is in Christ. He didn't leave anything out. He didn't say, no, I'm going to exclude this part. No. Everything that's touching your life is there with you. He is the risen Savior. You have the resurrection power inside you. He's given it to you. He's given the Holy Spirit to you, to live in you, to guide you, and to give you the truth, to comfort you, and to bring you to all the truth. See, we need to understand that he excluded nothing. He didn't exclude anything that you're going through. So whatever you're going through is with you in Christ. He didn't leave it behind, and he didn't leave you behind. God is the one, if he's the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper, he don't mind the problems. He'll tell you the answer to that problem. He'll show you how to get out of that problem. He'll show you how to be the overcomer that he said that you truly are. You know, I really love the fact that, you know, that we see these three doors, but yet there's one more door. And it's this one. It's found over in John 10:7. And it's the words of Jesus. And he says this, truly, truly, I am the door. I am the door. But I'm telling you, his door, who he is always open. He's not a closed door. He's an open door. I'm speaking to you. I'm speaking to the ones that are watching live streaming. Maybe you have not walked into that door. Maybe you have not entered the door of who Christ is. This is your time. He is the way maker. He's made a way for you today to hear this message. He's made a way for all of you in your cars to hear this message by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he wants you and I to acknowledge him. He wants you and I to look for him when he shows up in a form that we may not think he is, but yet he's there. I don't want to miss him, do you? When God starts doing it, I don't want to miss him. I don't want to think he's got to be this way. He's got to operate this way or it won't be Jesus. No, let him be who he is and let him appear to you. Let him show you who he is at that moment that he unveils himself and reveals himself to you. I'm telling you, it'll be just like the other two disciples. It'll be like when he starts to unveil himself to you, your heart will burn within you to hear more. Your heart will burn within you to experience more of him. Your heart will burn within you to walk differently than you've ever walked before. Your heart will burn in you to want to dig into the word, to fellowship, to be together. Your heart will burn within you. Let's pray. Father, I understand that our circumstances may not go away. And if they do go away, they may reappear in a different form. But you're not concerned over my circumstances. You're concerned over my response to my circumstances. You want me to respond with your heart. You want me to respond with your power, with your word, following your spirit. We want to recommit to you today that as we go home and get behind the doors, we will not be fearful and we will not show doubt. And we won't begin to talk about the problems, that we will begin to talk to our family and others and make phone calls and begin to talk about the promise. We commit ourselves to do that on this resurrection day. We love you. We worship you. We honor you. In Jesus' name. We pray. Pastor John.
Well, thank everyone for coming out and being with us today. And I know that you enjoyed it. It was a great word. Thank you, Pastor Terry. And as we're getting ready to depart from the parking lot, Brother Darren is here on my left, and we're going to start on the left. And if you got an envelope today with a little Ziploc bag, and you had a Tide envelope in that. We have guys at the top of the hills that is going to receive your tithes and offering this morning. So as you are departing from the parking lot, please stop by and drop your tithes and offering in the buckets that we have at the top of the hill. And again, we want to thank you for coming, and we're going to pray and just follow the leading of Brother Darren. He's right here in front of us, the security guards, and just be careful as you are leaving the parking lot, okay? Father, we thank you again today for such an awesome word, Father, that we've heard today. And Lord, we just thank you, Lord God, for all our members and all our friends that are here today, Lord. And God, we just thank you for our pastor and Miss Brenda and all those that are here. So Father, we pray as we depart this place, but never your presence, watch over us and protect us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that word today. You know, Jesus is the one with the resurrected life that he gives us. And we have life because of him. And the life that we live is not our own. It is his that we live from our own being. And it's just so good to know that no matter where we are, even in the midst of our anxiety, even in the midst of some fears that we may have, Christ will enter into that place and take away your anxiety if you just let him. Just let him take away the anxiety, because what he wants to give you is peace. And the peace is himself. He is the Prince of Peace. Well, I hope you enjoyed it today. I really do. Thank you so much for tuning in. And parents, I want to tell you this. When you go to watch the videos, there won't be two videos today. There'll be just one video, and it will have activities in it for the whole family. In other words, the parents need to participate and the children. It will fit even the preschool and the kids' church kids. It'll fit both of those, and even teenagers. They can participate in this and learn the lessons that we've been talking about and learning concerning Christ and who he is and how he comes into our lives. So I want you to participate in that, parents, if you just go to fathersvineyard.org and click on that one video this week. And I think you'll really enjoy it. I really do appreciate Gina and Liz as they prepare these things and put them on here for you so you can participate, so the kids can have their portion of their teaching and their portion of their worship. Also, if you're praying about giving, we really want to thank everyone that has been giving so faithfully, and we really do appreciate it from the bottom of our hearts. I know these times are difficult, but the faithfulness that you guys represent is just absolutely awesome. So if you're praying about continuing to contribute, you can go to fathersvineyard.org and go online, and it'll be the contribute online button that you can do that. And you can also mail it in. And I think they'll put up a slide right now for you to read concerning that. And if you want to mail it in, the address will be there. Also, if you want to drop by the office on Mondays from 9 to 5. What a time to be alive. What a time to demonstrate who we are as God's people. You know, we're not a people who will shrink back. We're not a people who's going to hide away. And even though we're having to follow the rules of the government and the local authorities about staying home and staying in so it can protect you and protect everybody else, we have those. But I'm telling you, we're just as alive today as we ever have been. And we have such a purpose in God that is going to be demonstrated when all of this is over. And actually, during this time, we can demonstrate who the living Christ is inside us. Thank you again for joining in, and make sure you join in with us next Sunday. And God bless you. We love you. We are Father's Vineyard. We love God. We love people. And we make a difference.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.